Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We've been looking at a series called Foundations, and first and foremost, we want to understand and know that the one true foundation is Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, if you would put that on the screen for us, that reads, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Why don't you say that with me? Hopefully we're memorizing that. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is our foundation, but we've also been looking at ways in which that foundation is strengthened for us. And we've looked at the gathering. Last Sunday, we looked at baptism, of how God comes to us in baptism and starts that faith process in a lot of our lives, in which we witnessed this morning. We witnessed last Sunday after church. And so it's a real foundation for us. It's a bringing of that faith that was won for us on the cross through Jesus. I talked last week just a little bit about a phrase that we used to use all the time in the Lutheran Church, the means of grace. And if you can't understand sometimes when you say words and you haven't heard it, that's spelled M-E-A-N-S, the means of grace, the means by which God distributes the forgiveness that He won for us on the cross. Comes to us through baptism, comes through to us through the Lord's Supper, comes to us through His Word. And so today we're going to look at the meal. Last week was the baptism. I got baptism on my mind this morning for some reason. But we're going to look at the meal, of how the Lord comes to us in the meal, the Lord's Supper. Now, if we think about the Old Testament Passover meal, it was celebrated to remember how God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. And the reading was read, a description of that meal. There was going to be a lamb that was taken, and it was going to be a family meal, celebrated, eaten together as immediate family. Now, I don't know if you noticed, there was a provision made that if the lamb was too large for the family to consume all of it, then they could get a neighboring family to join them. But it was a family meal that they shared together. And what was going to happen is that lamb that was sacrificed for that meal, the blood was going to be put on the door frames of the homes of the Israelite people. And the Lord was going to pass through the land on that one particular night. And when He passed through the land of Egypt, those homes that were marked with the blood, He passed over. The homes that were not marked, He passed through. And the firstborn in all of those homes died. That was the final plague that finally let Pharaoh release the Israelite people to leave Egypt. When we get to our gospel reading for this morning in Luke chapter 22, the first part of that passage, 7 to verse 13, describes Jesus telling Peter and John to go and find a place to celebrate the Passover meal. And so what the whole intention of this meal is, to remember the Exodus, to remember how the Lord saved them from their bondage in Egypt. And so this is in the mind of the disciples, in the mind of Peter and John, as Jesus tells them to go find the place for them to celebrate this Passover meal. In their minds, they have to be thinking about this Old Testament Passover meal. The sacrifice of the lamb, the eating of the bitter herbs, the eating of the unleavened bread. And so that in their mind is what they're thinking about. And they go and find a place as Jesus had told them. And then we get to verse 14 and 15 in Luke chapter 22. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Already here in these two verses, we see a couple of things that Jesus is already making new. The Old Testament Passover meal was celebrated by who? Families. I mentioned that to the children. It was in the homes of each individual family. Now Jesus has called the disciples out of their family into celebrating this Passover meal together as, in a sense, a new family. Believers, followers of Jesus Christ. So he's already making some changes here. And then it says, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That was one of the main reasons for the Israelites being rescued from Egypt. I mean, they were in slavery, basically, building for the Egyptians, for Pharaoh. And the whole reason that Moses was sent to them, to the Israelite people, is because we're told that God heard their cry. And so God chose Moses to go rescue them. And so there was a rescue from suffering that was brought about through this Old Testament Passover meal. And now for us, there's a rescue. There's a rescue from the suffering that we endure in life. I mean, we all have things that we suffer from, whether it's because of just general sin in the world or sometimes maybe some of the crazy mistakes we make personally that cause us suffering, or whether it's an illness, financial difficulty, relationship struggles, we all suffer. And through this new meal, we're rescued from that suffering. And so Jesus goes on in verse 19 and 20. It says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. I want us to look at really three key things that are happening here in the Lord's Supper. First of all, there is forgiveness. In the Lord's Supper is a means, as I said earlier, by which God distributes his forgiveness, his grace to us that Jesus won for us on the cross. Matthew is a little bit clearer on this than Luke. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So in the Lord's Supper, we have forgiveness. And this is sort of seen in the whole idea of, in the Old Testament Passover meal, there was a lamb that was to be slaughtered. There was the lamb that was going to be eaten. And in this new Passover meal, Jesus is celebrating it with the disciples. What is missing? I mean, none of the Gospels say anything about a lamb that's being sacrificed. Because Jesus is the Lamb that's present. In fact, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist says, when he sees Jesus coming, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is that Lamb. Jesus is present at that meal, and there's no need now in the new Passover meal for a Lamb, because Jesus becomes that Lamb for us. The second thing that we have in the Lord's Supper is we have fellowship. When we come to the Lord's table, we obviously have fellowship with Jesus himself, because he is coming to us personally through the bread and the wine in his body and blood. But we also have fellowship with each other. that new family. This is the new family. I mean, we enjoy meals, right? And I know we've said we eat a lot of meals up here. So I guess we must be pretty good friends and family, right? To be able to enjoy these meals together. And so we have fellowship with one another when we come up here to the Lord's table. We're joining together as family, partaking of Christ's body and blood. But there's also another, I guess, fellowship that I don't know that we always think about. And I've brought this out before. In some of our traditional liturgies, there is a phrase that the pastor says, "Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy." All the company of heaven. Do you know who that is? That's all of those people that have died in Christ and who have gone before us. And I think about that quite often. It's my grandparents. It's my sister that has gone before me already. That we're joined together not only with the people that are here, but every person who has died in Christ. We join with the whole Christian church when we come to the Lord's table. So in the Lord's Supper, we have forgiveness. We have fellowship, and we have a future. I don't know if you probably didn't catch this, but you might have. In our 1 Corinthians reading, it says, "Therefore, verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We have a future that's promised to us in the Lord's Supper. That when Christ returns, we're going to be with him. And so there's something much better waiting for us. It's great to get around the Lord's table and to celebrate and to have that fellowship with each other and with Jesus himself coming to us in the bread and the wine with his body and blood. But it's going to get better than that. When we all join Jesus in heaven one day, it's going to be the greatest feast of all. And so when we come forward to take the Lord's Supper, it is only a foretaste, a glimpse of what is to come. We have in the Lord's Supper, I didn't think about this before, but there's three F's. And not failing grades, but good things. We have forgiveness, we have fellowship, and we have future that comes to us in the Lord's Supper. I mentioned this morning in Bible class, I think a lot of times the Lord's Supper may just become kind of, that's just what we do, it's kind of the flow of things, and we get in the habit of partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we may not think about really what's taking place. I pray that this morning, when we come forward to receive the Lord's Supper, that we remember and that we realize that Jesus is coming to us in a personal way, bringing forgiveness to us. That when we come forward, that we are reminded that we are fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ, both here and those who have gone before us. And that we have a future. We have the promise of eternal life that Jesus gives to each of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we certainly do give you thanks for this day. We thank you for all of the gifts that you give us, and we thank you for the means of grace by which you distribute your love, your forgiveness to us through your word, through the Lord's Supper, and through baptism. Lord, we ask that we are strengthened today through this meal that we will partake of. Lord, that we're strengthened and that we are equipped here today to live in this world and to serve you as you have placed us in various vocations to live out our calling, to be a witness of who you are. We ask a special blessing on each one here today, and that as we leave this place today, that we will be your instruments in the world to take your light so that others may come to know who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.